you should travel. One person's mission to get to 100 countries, and being that I'm getting quite close, I reserve the right to change that number in future. You should travel. Hello and welcome along to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Country 98 on my quest to get to 100 countries. It's getting perilously close. I don't have any plans after this country to go anywhere, so I don't know what number 99 and what number 100 will be. Okay, there's a red ant crawling up my leg. Oh, fuck me, that's crawling up my shorts. Hang on. I thought I would take refuge next to a tree, and I've just learned that the same thought process went on for 1,000 large red ants. Hang on a minute. He's actually gone right up the old leg. Actually, I'm quite an embarrassment today. For a start, I've got, like, dad shoes on. You know, big chunky trainers that Americans wear. So I look ridiculous. And I've also managed to put a large rip in the crotch of my shorts so that when on a train, as I will be later today, sat opposite probably a nice old lady, she can make out my meat and two veg. So it's a bit embarrassing, but it's a good country to get stuff fixed. Now, I'm just trying to find a spot that I can tell you about Sri Lanka. This is not quite how I saw this podcast going so far. Right, I've managed to find a spot that's quite quiet, but I've just sat here just about to start recording, and then two tourists decided, because it's quiet, they would also use it to count their money and have a small argument. So there's a couple behind me having a small argument. I would guess they're from the Netherlands, because they're 9.5 feet tall. But the argument seems to have been, we haven't got enough money. They didn't seem very happy. You forget sometimes, don't you, when you go on holiday with your loved one. It's not all laughing, happiness and sex. I've seen a few arguments with couples in the street. See, the problem is when you go on holiday, you might be wanting to get away from it, but you do bring yourself, as the great philosophers have noted. Now then, the passing sound of a tuk-tuk, the quiet streets. I'll tell you where I am in a minute, but first let's set this up. I am in Sri Lanka. It is my 98th country. I'm on a quest to get to 100 countries, and this one is an absolute belter. Why? It's got 8 UNESCO sites. What's a UNESCO site? Old stuff. Love old stuff. It's famous for tea. It's the second largest tea exporter, which is quite impressive, really, being it's not that big. And, of course, the biggest tea exporter to the north, India. Where are we? Where is India? Well, Sri Lanka is sometimes considered the teardrop of India. If you think of India as a big inverted triangle, at the very bottom of that, a little droplet coming off that is Sri Lanka. It's an island, and so far, I bloody love it. 23 million people live here in Sri Lanka, which is not that many people, really, when you think about it. There's more people in Delhi. And a bit of a difficult one, this, but I think there's a lot of monkeys. If you look it up, it says there's 7 million monkeys, right? So there's 7 million monkeys, there's 23 million people. That is one monkey to 3.5 people, which has to be the highest monkey-to-person ratio anywhere, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know that. I'm just guessing that it is. Now, I was very happy with this fact. And then I was like, well, hang on a minute. I've been here a few days and I've only seen one monkey. And that was on a string being paraded up a beach by a man who wanted to take pictures with it. Don't do that, by the way. Don't get your picture taken with a monkey on a string. That's the only monkey I saw. So I'm missing somewhere in the region of 7 million monkeys. I looked it up, this whole massive monkey thing, and it might be bullshit. Now, that isn't to say there's no monkeys. There's a lot of monkeys. But they might have double counted. And here's why, right? Critics argue about the amount of monkeys on this island because when they came up with the fact that there's 7 million monkeys, this is the methodology they used. They looked around in the jungle for 5 minutes, counting monkeys, and then worked out roughly the area they'd looked around, roughly the amount of time, and then extrapolated from that the size of Sri Lanka and the amount of monkeys it has. Now, I'm not a professional monkey counter. I would never proclaim to be. But I will say this, that smells a lot like bullshit. So critics have argued there may be double the amount of monkeys counted than there actually are. So it's safe to say, in monkey news, 3.5 million minimum to 7 million maximum. And it's certainly not more than 7 million. But there's a lot of monkeys. How many monkeys do you need? Wouldn't it be nice that somewhere in the world would have more monkeys than people? I'm sure there's monkey islands where there's no people and there's just monkeys, but not the size of this. Anyway, we're getting bogged down in monkey news. Let's move on. 8 UNESCO sites. What's that? As I say, it's old stuff. I'm in one of them, and it's called Galle. All right, Galle. G-A-L-L-E. And we'll start with that. Why is it called Galle? Portuguese for crow is gallo, gallo. And the Portuguese that landed here heard a crow, and they thought, should we call it that? Should we call it crow? If they saw a pig first, would I be in pig? If they saw a horse first, would I be in horse? I mean, how did they not see a monkey first? By all accounts, this town should be called Monkey. But anyway, it's called Galle, after gallo, for crow. So let's talk about the Portuguese. Yeah, let's talk about history. Let's do that straight away. Portuguese, 1500s. They were knocking around on boats, which is pretty amazing that they were doing that in the 1500s anyway. They were looking for the Maldives. They may have been to the Maldives once. They may have found a lovely little island and thought, looks like a good place for a honeymoon. I don't know, but whatever happened, they got blown, of course, and they ended up here in Sri Lanka. And they ended up at the southern tip, which is where I am. So if you think of the teardrop, I'm on the southern tip of that teardrop in a place called Galle, and that is a fort, right? What's that about? Well, Portuguese arrived, 1500s, looking for the Maldives, and they're like, this looks all right. There's a crow, brilliant. Let's build something. And they built a fort. Now, let's not run away with the term fort. It was more like a highly fucking aggressive sandcastle, but they managed to build a structure. Obviously, they built a church as well because they're Portuguese. Moved some Portuguese people in. They were sort of knocking about, doing their thing. That's the 1500s. 1600s, the Dutch come in, right? They get in with this local king, a king of Kandy. Kandy with a K. That's in the centre of the island. So they get in with a king and they say, hey, king of Kandy, can we get these Portuguese guys out, you and me, you know, if I give you some weapons and some money and whatever the Dutch are into, hash and boring cheese. Some weird feedback to these gags. There's someone selling something in the distance and he just keeps going, Lord, Lord. But we'll crack on nonetheless. Right, so 1600s, Dutch come in.
We are having the good times and we would like to take over this island, or at least this fort bit in the south. Yeah, for sure. This is fun for us. Hey, Portuguese guys, you must go.
So off they fucked, and the Dutch built a very large fort, and they really went for it. They said, hey, we don't want any of this dodgy sand business. Let's use stone. So they built a big-ass gate. They built a wall around the fort and a coat of arms, of course, because that's what you do if you're from Europe. And they stuck that above the fort, and they said, right, that's it. That's us, Dutch. Now, meanwhile, in the Netherlands, things were going well until the French came in. Now, we're now into the 1700s. So to recap, Portuguese arrived in the 1500s, Dutch arrived in the 1600s, took this place over. 1700s, very, very late 1700s, mostly 1800s, in come the Brits. Now, this is classic, and that's what we do. We come in, we take a place over, usually with violence. But actually, not here. You see that Netherlands was essentially part of France at the time because the French had invaded and done a pretty good job of it, which meant that all the Dutch overseas territories, like this one, were kind of French? Question mark. And the Brits thought, hang on a minute, we're not having this. Let's take these places over, explain to the Dutch guys there, sorry lads, you haven't really got a country anymore, so we're having this. And they did it, and they didn't fire a shot, not one. In came the Brits and took over peacefully, which is quite impressive, really, because if you look at this fort, it's about 2 or 3 square kilometres, something like that, all with these huge fortified walls, properly fortified. I mean, it survived the 2004 tsunami, so pretty bloody good job. If you walk around these fort walls, you'll see all kinds of cannon, loads of them, big iron cannons. So the Brits come in, as I say, 1700s, mostly 1800s, and it remained British until independence of Sri Lanka in 1940-something. Forgive me, I can't remember. Sri Lanka gets the whole of Sri Lanka, including this, the fort in the south, Galay. And it's a beautiful place. Now, today, if you walk around it, it's just a very tight little network of streets, mostly on a grid system, well laid out, that have just endless jewellery shops. Quite a lot of gems here in Sri Lanka. Restaurants, loads of them. Really good quality. Coffee shops, which absolutely banging. I just had a double espresso, so I'm pretty fucking wired. And, of course, around the place you'll see the old churches from the Dutch days and chapels built by the Brits. There's a mosque as well built in more recent days. And there's a giant lighthouse to warn ships of the punishing rocks when the winds do pick up. And pick up they do. I should mention that, by the way. It's peak season here, but actually it's not that busy. And the reason I found out last night is that, basically there was a massive cyclone in the north, which had absolutely no effect on the south of Sri Lanka whatsoever. Maybe a little bit of wind, but not so much as a broken window, as far as I can see. And as a result, loads of tourists cancelled their trip, thinking, the whole place is going to be devastated. Which is pretty shit, really, for the locals, because, of course, it's meant that their peak season isn't quite as busy as usual. I chatted to a guy in an excellent bar last night about it. Can you describe Sri Lankan people to me? How would you describe Sri Lankan people?
In short term, they are very friendly, nice people, and very supportive. Because you know that one thing, in Sri Lankan people, with the cyclone effect, with the crisis, so many people in southern coast, very helpful for the middle people and eastern people. They get in food for them, they serve in clothes, they repair their houses, and they repair their schools. So many support to them.
So even though no one in the south was affected, they still help out their friends, the family and strangers in different parts.
Only strangers, they are strangers.
Really?
But in terms of this, we not consider they are strangers. They are all Sri Lankan people.
Yeah.
It's the nation. It's our pride. They are our people, not strangers.
Yeah,
all are Sri Lankans, like a family. That's the thing. That's why I told you Sri Lankan people are very nice, friendly, and very helpful people.
Is that why it feels so safe? Because I've noticed a lot of people here, they have the telephones on the table, they have a bag on their seat. Doesn't seem a big problem. Like, is that why it's so safe here? Because people look after each other?
Yeah, people respect for the laws, and people respect for the other people's hopes, other people's things. They are very scared of being a bad people, being bad image on others.
Really?
That's why they...
Yeah, in England we call it shame.
Yeah.
It's bad to have shame.
Shame. Yeah, they have shame. They are ashamed. They are ashamed of... like bad things, and in Sri Lankan people most are Buddhists, and in our religion also say don't do such things. They are very bad for us.
Yeah.
Take it in bad.
Huh.
That's why people follow that one. That's why so safe in here in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And I think you also know Sri Lankan people are very friendly.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. So you never feel scared here? You don't worry about your telephone? You don't worry about your motorbike?
Your bags, money, pockets, all the time safe. But few people get another side. They are very bad. But most of people are good. I think better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. And your name?
My name is Vinny.
I'm Azura. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, brother. 22.
21.
Yeah, it's a great country. Where I'm from in London, I love London. I do.
Yeah.
It's got great
you
music.
You must love London.
It's great.
It's great.
It's got great culture. It's got really good music, really diverse music. It's got loads of history. It's cool. But if you leave your motorbike unlocked, it will get stolen. If you leave your phone on the table,
it will get stolen.
Probably will get stolen. You know?
That's the difference.
That's a shame, yeah.
That's the difference, no?
It is,
yeah. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, it is. Big. And it's crazy because, you know, Sri Lanka is a poorer country. There's a lot of people that are in need here. Essentially, England is a richer country. In theory, there's less people in need. that, you know, there's a lot of crime. So I like it. I would live here. Maybe I will one day.
Seriously, you want to do that?
If I do live here, can I DJ in this bar?
You can. And my hope is, my ambition is also to open a restaurant. If this place not your space, I will definitely give you a space.
You'll give me a space? Okay.
Sure. Give me a fit.
We're done. We are gonna, yeah. I'm gonna DJ your bar.
Yeah, sure.
That's okay, yeah. But I think I owe you more than that.
No, two
glasses.
Oh, sorry.
I owe you more than that.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
So yeah, as I say, a lot of people didn't turn up. Now, it is busy. There's plenty of tourists, but I just think the numbers are down on what they normally are. But here we are in this network of old streets. They would have been cobbled. Now they've all been dug up and bricked, but they still look really beautiful and authentic. And you've got these old battered colonial houses, lots of different residences looking like a bit their original country. Some look a bit Dutch, some look a bit British. There's a hospital that's been completely converted into a whole bunch of restaurants. And you can walk along the ramparts, I believe they're called, around the fort, the protection walls, and have yourself a glass of wine, look at some of the local flowers. It's like 30 degrees, so there's beautiful bougainvillea and lots of gorgeous flowers blooming everywhere. This is a place that gets heavy rains and is exceptionally green. I mean, the whole of Sri Lanka. And having just come from Jordan, I have to say, fuck me, do I prefer it here. Sorry, Jordan, but there's something almost slightly depressing about Jordan in the desert between towns, just driving endlessly and seeing absolutely fuck all. Whereas here, there's life bustling everywhere. Insects and animals, trees and bushes and shrubs and grasslands. It's just so fucking green. Everything pops. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful country. And I have to say, it reminds me quite a lot of Thailand in numerous ways. First of all, food. It's like Thailand in that the food is spicy and it's fantastic and it's cheap. Secondly, people, very calm, very smiley. So coconut curries, chilled people, lots of smiling. Not so much use of the horn as you would get in India, just like endless fucking honking of horns and noise and madness and fumes. Like in Delhi, there's an abrasive smog that hangs over the whole city. It's disgusting. I feel so, so sorry for them. No one should have to live like that. And you come here, and I perhaps naively expected it to be quite similar to India, and it's not really. I mean, not really. Also, it's Buddhist, so it's... Oh, there's a man hocking up some spit. That's lovely. I was just about to say it's Buddhist, so it's quite chilled out, but hocking up spit doesn't really go with that, does it? Yeah, but it is predominantly Buddhist, so I like the Buddhists. They're very relaxed and very generally Zen. I've seen absolutely zero crime. I've actually seen zero police as well, apart from one guy attempting to corral some traffic and failing quite abysmally. I was driving a moped yesterday. I rented for, I don't know, I think it was £4, about $5 for the whole day. I mean, it was a shitbox, don't get me wrong. It shouldn't have been much more than that. It barely had any brakes. But it was great. Yesterday, here in Sri Lanka, I have got some lovely prescription shades. I had a shower, went to go and put my shoes on, and sat on my fucking shades, right? And I snapped the metal arm on my shades. Went down to the hotel, said to the fella, I fucking love these shades. I can't believe I've done this. I'm a stupid prick. I've sat on them. Any ideas? He said, give me a minute. Made a quick phone call, had a friend in a jewellery shop. He said, grab that moped, drive up the road, 5 minutes, go to this jeweller, they'll be expecting you. He will solder the arm on your glasses, all right? He'll do it within an hour. This is the best day of my life. So I go over there, go into the jeweller, and he solders my glasses.
charged me the equivalent of, I think it was £2.50, about $3. So I gave him, obviously, a bit more than that, and said, thanks. They were as good as new. That's how life should work, isn't it? There's always a fixer in a developing country that won't say, well, I can't do that because that's under a warranty from Specsavers, and unfortunately we don't carry that particular arm, and even if we did, we wouldn't be able to fix it because they use a little screw that we can't use because they've got the special screwdriver. Fuck off, all that. I just get so fucking bored with it. Here, I've broken my shades, I'm a fat twat, I sat on them, can you help? Yes, go and see Abdul. Brilliant. Hello, Abdul. Can you sort this out? Not a problem. That's how it should be. On the moped yesterday, I took a ride from Galle and I went down to quite a touristy beach, very beautiful sandy beach, had a swim in the sea. Temperature's about 30 degrees Celsius, might drop to 25 at night, but it is toasty. Aircon is recommended if you can. I don't really sleep in the heat, so I just lie there like a big sweaty twat, but I managed to get some aircon. So yeah, had a nice little snooze, apart from the screaming kid in the room next door to me that started screaming at 7 o'clock this morning, and I had to say, after going slightly bonkers in my own mind, I opened the door and said, think of other people, i.e. me. Think of me is what I'm saying, but I'm dressing up as other people. I'm going to get on a train today and I'm going to head east to a little town with a beach. I think I'm just going to do one night there, and then ultimately I'm going to be heading north into the interior of this very large and beautiful island, and hopefully there I will see all kinds of flora, fauna, monkeys and elephants. There are numerous elephants here in Sri Lanka, and you'll see them carved into wood here in this market area, this network of streets in Galle. What can I say about Sri Lanka? It's fucking great. That's what I can say about Sri Lanka. I love it. The only thing I don't like is all the waiters keep saying, how long have you been here and how many days are you going to be here? Which I do find incredibly boring as conversation goes, but I think they're just trying to learn English. I mean, that's really the only thing I don't like. What else don't I like? Honestly, I can't think of anything I don't like. It's rubbish. There's shitloads of rubbish on the beach, on the streets, plastic bottles. Coca-Cola have got something to answer to, haven't they? I know that they're not dropping the litter, but they are. I would say if you walk up a beach here, it's 99% Coca-Cola products. Hey, you rich fucks, why don't you donate something to beach clearance and education about litter? This podcast sponsored by Coca-Cola, a fine, refreshing beverage. Also available, Fanta, for the Nazis. Look it up. There's a man in a sarong. Man in a sarong. Hi. Hello. Off he goes. I might set up a sarong shop. With the tagline, how can it be so wrong when it feels so right? Comedy gold. I've got some travelling friends who said if you're going to Sri Lanka, one thing you have to do is get the train. And so I have. I'm on it. I'm on a train in Sri Lanka. And I say I'm on it. I'm half on it. All the windows are open, all the doors are open, so I'm sort of hanging out of one of the doors with my legs dangling down. You can't do this in London. I mean, partially health and safety, but also you'd freeze your knackers off. It's 30 degrees. I'm stopped at a station somewhere on the south coast of Sri Lanka. I'm heading from Galle to another place, which I can't remember what it's called, but it sounds a bit like Tagliatelle. I mean, you don't come here for actual information, do you? And as I rumble along, all I can see is palm trees, quite dense jungle, very occasional buildings, usually painted in white, a little bit dilapidated, a bit beaten up, with people living outside, doing their laundry. Oh yeah, it's going to be too loud, isn't it? I might have to give this one up. Anyway, get a train in Sri Lanka, it's great. And unlike Jordan, you don't get shot at. Rumbling train took me through the jungle, along the coastal road, little shots occasionally through the palm trees of crystal blue turquoisey waters, with occasional fishing boats out to sea catching mahi-mahi and red snapper for the local restaurants and markets. Oh yes. And I got off where I am now, Tangali. I'm in my hotel room, which hasn't got any air conditioning. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't sleep very well. But it's kind of okay, as long as you've got nothing to do the next day. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I gave up. I went outside and I slept in a hammock. And because I'm not from Latin America or the East, I am shit in a hammock. I like lying with my face down, which you can do in a hammock, but you might die. That's not how they work. It's not how bodies are supposed to be moulded. Hammocks, great invention. And I'm sure if I grew up in one, I would naturally take to them now. Anyway, it was all right. I had a little rockabout, saw the sun come up. I got woken up to the sound of the crashing waves of the ocean, which, you know, that's a flex. Tangeli's a little surf town, really. It's just got occasional couples wandering around, a couple of groups of people, couple of surf dudes on their own, lots and lots of seafood restaurants along the beach. Really chilled out. I think it's £12 a night where I'm staying, about $15 a night. Everything's cheap and easy, and everyone does everything. So, for example, in this hotel, if you want a massage, you just walk downstairs and have a massage. If you want a meal, then you go out to the beachy area and they'll bring you out a meal. And if they can't organise you the coffee you want, then they'll recommend the restaurant next door. So it's the sort of place, it would be very weird to put shoes on here, yeah? You might as well live your life shoeless, because everything is a stone's throw away, and the furthest you're possibly going is into the sea, or into the ocean, I should say, for a little dip, which is lovely and feels like you're walking into a bath. So what does all this mean? I'll tell you what this means. I've been thinking this morning. I am on country 98. This is country 98. I am immediately putting Sri Lanka into the top 10 countries I've ever visited. Which in theory, if you look at it just numerically, there's only a 10% chance that this was going to happen, yeah? Because I've done nearly 100 countries and this is in the top 10. So it was unlikely that this was going to jettison into the top 10, but fuck me, it is there. What is not to like? The people are just so warm and friendly. They're not pushy in any way. If you're wandering along, someone might offer you a fish. But when you say, I don't really feel like a fish, they'll just smile and go, hey, might see you later. I mean, they're just the nicest people. They do a fantastic massage, which I just had. I feel like a right old tourista. But I'm kind of all right with it, because I'm contributing to the very local economy by just eating fish and occasionally having a massage. And I don't know what else there is to do here. I mean, outside of surfing, obviously, you might go a bit bonkers after a while. I'm not the sort of guy that can read a book on the beach. I can for nearly one page. That's about as far as I go before I think, I wonder what stocks and shares I should invest in this year. I wonder how podcasting equipment's changed over the last 6 months. Bees are interesting. There's less of them than there were before. Isn't bottled water in Lisbon quite expensive? You know, I can relax, but the old noodle, it just rolls on. I think I've made this point before. I think if I worked in an office job that was hard and took me a great deal of concentration, and I had to deal with Barbara in accounts and Tim, the office manager, who's a fucking prick, then I would probably be quite compelled to get away and come to places like this, and I'd probably be quite happy reading a book. But my life isn't really like that. I'm kind of always in a reasonably relaxed state. Don't get me wrong, I'm not retired by any means, but the projects that I do get involved in, podcasting, printing, all the other stuff that I do, my Edinburgh show and all that kind of stuff, they don't pay particularly well, but they all add up to quite an interesting, diverse life. So I'm fucking lucky, and I am very humble about it. Well, I probably don't sound humble right now, but I guess what I'm saying is I have won the lottery of life. I've not had to suffer the turmoil of corruption and the knock-on effects of climate change, and I don't live in America. I was always lucky in where I was born, when I was born, and but I do hold that very close to my heart. And when I come to places like Sri Lanka, I just love giving stuff away. For example, I've ripped my shorts, and rather than fix them, I'll just give them to a guy and say, sorry about the hole, but do you want these shorts? And it will give me a great lift in the day. And then I've got a pair of shoes to give away. Basically, I come home with nothing from these places, but it's great. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm like a really, really shit Jesus. It's time to get away from the beach and go see some elephants. I'm going to a place called Udawalawa, which, I mean, why wouldn't you go there? It's called Udawalawa. And it sounds like the sort of place you might find a submerged elephant, Udawalawa. I text a friend of mine and his wife, who are avid travellers, and I asked them for their top 10 countries on Earth, because I've been thinking about it quite a lot recently. Both of them included Sri Lanka. I will certainly put in Sri Lanka in, and nearly everyone that I know that's been to Sri Lanka ends up saying it's one of the best countries on Earth. I think it would be great even if it was the price of Monaco, but the fact that everything, you know, a coffee is a dollar or two, a meal can be as little as $3, well, it can be as little as $1, but even a good sit-down meal in a slightly touristy place isn't going to cost you much more than $6. It is absolutely fantastic value for the amazing food, yeah? Places like Cuba, sorry Cuba, you might have cheap food, but it is almost entirely shit, with the exception of lobster. Fair play to you on that one. But the food in Cuba is bloody awful. The baseline cheap food here is absolutely exceptional. Now, I better go. I was supposed to check out at 11 o'clock and it's now 2 o'clock, which again is a sort of, you know, look at how chilled these people are. I remember in Tokyo once I had a stonking hangover and I was supposed to check out at 11 o'clock and the phone rang and they said, yeah, why are you still in the room? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling very well. And they said, oh, okay, we'll send an ambulance. Well, no, it is a bad hangover, but it's not ambulance bad. And they're like, but we don't understand, how could you still be there? If you must be very, very ill. Right, okay, I've just remembered everyone in Japan does everything correctly on time, and this is not acceptable behaviour. Best get my hungover ass down to the lobby. So whilst I absolutely dearly love Japan, I think this kind of is more my vibe, yeah? Sri Lanka, you want to check out 3 hours late? No problem. No charge, as long as you have a massage in that 3 hours. What's not to love? Weird time, because at the back of the truck where I'm walking now, imagine a sort of Land Rover with a high roof, and at the back of it is an elephant. Just saw one who's my age, mid 40s. He doesn't look a day over 38. You can hear another truck in the distance. First gear just bobbing along. It'll probably park up behind us and turn the engine off. The elephants seem quite comfortable, actually, with people. If you're a male elephant, you bugger off on your own at about 10 and never come back again. They have to be one of the most beautiful animals on planet Earth, don't they? Majestic, calm, until you're wrong 'em. Hundreds of people die every year in Sri Lanka from being stomped by elephants. If they get angry and run through your village, you do know about it. Until, of course, you don't.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to shut its engine off because there's an elephant right next to me now. It spent the day covering itself in water It's a lady with big ears, but not as big as the African elephant's ears. And rather than having the hassle... Oh, hello. Rather than having the hassle of getting all the root dirt off the grass, this girl is just shoving her trunk in the tree, ripping out a big old branch or two, and then in the gullet it goes. And I'm guessing that's the life of an elephant. Eat all day, because there's not that many calories in these things, and you've got to get as many as you can. Oh, that's a big branch. Oh, what a big mouthful. That's the noise of an elephant chowing down on some green branches from a small tree. I mean, I'm not sure if this makes a great podcast. There's a reason that David Attenborough does also have visuals. But I thought it might be nice just to say, if you are in Sri Lanka, come 2 hours north of the coast, on the south coast, the beautiful picture postcard south coast, and hang out in a sanctuary with some elephants. Easy to do, and they're bloody gorgeous. I'll leave this here on account of the fact that it might not be the greatest audio I've ever done.
I am in the highlands near a town called Ella, E-L-L-A, Ella, Ella, E-E-E, like my umbrella, Ella, etc. I am having a lovely little time. Ella is a town, go from the south coast where I was hanging out on a beach, jump on, what did I jump on? A bus, and then I realised it was getting quite late, so got off at a bus station somewhere, and then Ubered the rest of the way, which is the lazy white man way of doing it, but I have to say it was actually a bit of a dream. Got up to Ella, which is in the heart of the tea plantations, yeah, up in the hills, and my goodness, what the hell is going on with this country? It is actually obscenely beautiful. I think I said the same about Colombia, so forgive me for using this again, but you know Avatar, where there's a sort of dreamlike forest and these bizarre fruits and everyone lives in a sort of peculiar utopia? It's a bit like that, in that it's so higher, in that it's lovely. Sorry, there's some ladies walking past me with bags attached to their head full of tea. We'll get into that in a minute, but I'm in a tea plantation. Looked a bit upset with me there, I don't know why. Might be just resting bitch face, I don't know. They were very happy with me earlier. I've already taken a photograph with them and given them 100 doo-doos. I can't remember what the currency is, but we'll just call it that. So once you get up to Ella, you will find yourself in quite a touristy little town. It's the jewel in the crown of the surrounding fields of tea. Endless, endless tea plantations in this mountainous region. Right now, as I speak, I am I'm not actually that far from Ella, although it took bloody ages to get here. I think the thing with this country is, if it was China, they would have just built bridges and railways straight across all these ravines and all these valleys. You'd barely notice it, or they'd just drill through the mountain. But it's not like that here, and so you're sort of reliant on the very old roads that would originally, of course, be for donkeys and are now for the occasional tuk-tuk. I rode a motorbike here, and let me tell you, I've had a couple of lungfuls of some good stuff. And by good stuff, I mean exhaust fumes that will shorten my life. But I can't complain. It was so exquisitely beautiful driving here along these mountain roads. And pretty much everywhere you look, left and right of all these roads, gripping to impossible hillsides, you will find these tea plantations. Tea plantations are bushes about height of my waist, and they go on as far as the eye can see in every direction around me, apart from being broken up over there by a misty lake. It's just so exquisitely beautiful. And then as you go up the hill and the tea plantations can't even grip onto some of the rocks, you see these beautiful trees looking proudly over the mountain, probably hundreds of years old. So a lot of green. Right here, not a lot of monkeys, but I saw a few earlier. And, it's just very peaceful. The tea plantation that I'm standing in, I've just got I've just met a couple of ladies, some Tamil ladies. So we should talk about that briefly. Here in Sri Lanka, about 15% of the population are Tamil, yeah? And very different to the other 85% of population in pretty much every way you can imagine. Their language is completely and utterly different. Their look is quite different. Their religion is different. They're Hindu as opposed to Buddhist. And even their dress and pretty much everything you can imagine is different, which sadly has led to problems because unfortunately humans aren't very good at getting along with other tribal groups, something which I think we should all be working on, but doesn't appear to be going well. Let's not go into a massive fucking downer about that. But over the years, Sri Lanka's had massive problems. There was a civil war, and that civil war has meant that the Tamils, most of them live in the north, the Tamils, yeah, which makes sense because they're quite close to India, and the script is the same as the Indian script, and the religion is the same as the Indian religion. Even the music's different, actually. Tuk-tuk just drove past playing some music that you might find in India. What happened under British rule when the Brits were here in Sri Lanka? I'm going to fade myself down here and talk over myself. And the reason I'm doing that is because I warble on for quite a long time here about the Sri Lankan Civil War. And it was quite depressing and actually slightly inaccurate. I've done some research since and I don't want to mislead you, dear listener. So here's the truth, and I'll make it quick and snappy because, frankly, it's a bit depressing. The Sri Lankan Civil War was a long and complex conflict that lasted for nearly three decades. It was from 1983 to 2009. It mainly involved the Sri Lankan government and the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, otherwise known as the Tamil Tigers, right? And what they were fighting about was, the Tamils, the Tigers, wanted an independent Tamil state. The war was marked by numerous ceasefires, international mediation attempts, nearly all went wrong, and a heavy toll on civilians. It ended in 2009 with the Sri Lankan military defeating the Tamil Tigers. In total, that's 26 years, and no one's quite sure, but we think the number is about around 100,000 people dead. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Although historical analysis suggests it has paradoxically shaped civilization by forcing the creation of larger, more complex and technically advanced societies. It's also been used to defeat oppressive regimes, advance technology and reduce internal violence through state collusion. So war's good. No, it's quite shit. As I look into the distance, I can see one of the ladies with a bag of tea strapped to her forehead. If you imagine, the bag's quite light, actually. Well, until it gets filled. But in the early days, the bag's quite light, so you can just grab the necessary leaves that you want from these bushes, which I now have learnt are the bright green ones, and you chuck them over your head in the bag. Hi. And, yeah, that's what you do. And then, of course, you take all your tea to the place where they collect the tea and you get your money and that's your life, and you do the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And I think of the million cups of tea I've had in my life, I probably have never actually spent a great deal of time thinking about the fact that it comes from these bushes and is picked by hand. We know that Sri Lanka is the second biggest importer of tea in the exporter of tea in the world, which is a pretty big deal when you think about it, because the number one is India to the north, and it's fucking massive by comparison. So a whole chunk of Sri Lanka is dedicated to these tea plantations. If it wasn't for tea, this country would be completely different. My motorbike is parked around the corner, and I'm going to be going to Lipton's Seat, which is about another half hour's drive. It's a gorgeous drive through the mountains, all windy roads with hairpins, occasionally interrupted by a lady in colourful clothing walking along with a huge, huge stack of tea. That's mental. So I'm looking at one now. If they spoke English, I'd have a chat. Anyway, this is what goes on all around the world so that we can get a nice cup of tea. And I dare say the same is true of coffees, bananas, cigars and probably everything else you can imagine. A beautiful part of the world. I'm going to go to Lipton Seat. Lipton Seat is about 10 kilometres away, which takes about 40 minutes, even on a road. How is that possible? Some people could run that. Hello, mate. Someone just beeping and saying hello. Fellow bikers. So I'm going to go to Lipton Seat. I dare say those guys have just been there. It's a little way through all these plantations. And Lipton, of course, Lipton Seat. I don't know what it is, but I know that Lipton is from the tea bags Lipton Tea. So I assume that it is a seat. I'm just pulling this out of my arse. Something that looks a bit like a seat carved into the rock near the plantation for Lipton. We'll find out. I don't know. I never ask. I just asked the bike guy where's good to go, and he said you should go to Lipton Seat. So I rented a Royal Enfield motorbike. Used to be English, and then now it's made in India. I like these. I drove one in India. They're big, but they just go blah, 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 blah. Kind of never in a rush to go anywhere, and nothing. You can't do anything too mental. So it kind of goes with the driving style of Sri Lanka, which is a bit mad on the face of it, but actually it's not that mad. It's just like water. It always flows and finds the quickest way, but not necessarily in an unpredictable way. It's like, it's just kind of people pull out in front of you, but very slowly. Most people are fairly respectful. It's not that mad, even though it seems mad, if that makes sense. So crack on through these plantations and I'll take you to Lipton Seat. Stopped at the side of the road and I thought, oh, hang on a minute, I'm in a cloud. I looked up how long it would take to get to Lipton Seat and it was like, oh, it's only about 20 minutes away. But there's no point because I then looked up what it is and it's a viewpoint. But it is quite interesting. Lipton, Scottish fella, and Taylor, both tea brands, met up. One tried to plant coffee, didn't go very well. All the leaves got eaten by something. The other one said, you want to be planting some tea, mate. So they got together and made a bunch of tea plantations. Lipton Seat is where he used to sit, drink a cup of tea and look over his empire, which was basically an endless array of fields. But there's no point in me going there because you can't see anything. I mean, I'm in a cloud as we speak, but I have stopped by on the side of the road at a little place that sells tea called Frankie Hut. I doubt it's on Google Maps. It's a wooden shack made out of a couple of logs and some rope. Hiya, boss.
Yes.
Can I have a cup of ginger tea?
Yes, sure.
Thanks, brother.
With sugar or without sugar?
No sugar, thank you. It's made out of tree branches. Yeah. Frankie Hut.
I'm in the Google Map and the...
You're on Google Maps? Frankie Hut?
Yes, you can find me. So you're from?
I'm from London. We drink a lot of tea in London. Frankie Hut. Thanks, Frankie.
You're welcome.
Weirdly, they have quite a penchant, I've noticed, for the reggae in this part of the world. It goes well with the beach, but it feels a bit weird up here. Misty tea plantations, listening to reggae. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Cheers, brother.
If you need more, tell me, I will give you, okay?
Oh, it's amazing. Is this tea from around here?
Yeah, it's from Lipton.
From Lipton? Is all this around here, is this all Lipton tea?
Like, no, this is like, there's two variety of factories. So, one is belongs to Lipton, another one is belongs to... The main is Akrapatana plantation.
I see.
Yeah. The biggest is in Lipton.
So, with your tea, do you get it cheap because you know all the guys around here?
Yes.
You get a good deal? Good. You should.
If you want, I have... Good tea also.
You got good tea? How many cups of tea do you drink a day?
Today?
Every day?
Every day. Me? I don't know, maybe 15.
15?
Yeah, because sometimes I'm at alone, the shop, no one. So I have a cup of tea and a smoke or again tea, like that. happened.
Yeah, why not?
But only in the evening we couldn't sleep well.
Did you build this? You did all this work?
For myself.
You did it? It looks great.
Thank you.
I love it. How long did it take to build?
Now it's going to be like 3 years.
Yeah.
The shop. It's gone. Maybe day by day, I do small.
Even now, you're still doing stuff?
Yeah. Stuffs to do for the ceiling.
Yeah.
Because this is belongs to the road, to the government, the place.
Mm.
So it's not mine. So I can't build with a stone or anything. So
are you allowed to do this?
Yes.
But only this?
Only this, because no electricity.
Oh.
So I have only charger bulb, and I have a power bank I'm using for power bank. And if they say remove, we need to remove it.
But they're okay with this at the moment. Well, they must be happy because they get taxes, right?
Yes.
As long as they get taxes.
We are paying tax.
So how do you make the tea? Have you got a gas bottle? Yeah. Very good.
At that point, he just got a phone call. I think he's taking a tea order. He said bus driver then, I know that. He said the interesting thing about the political situation is that it's fairly stable now because of the government regulations. And
no problem.
Because the bus is gone.
I heard you say bus driver. That's the only thing I heard.
Because one of my brothers sent a parcel with a bus driver.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm talking to you, the bus is gone.
Oh, shit. Sorry, dude.
So, no, I forget also. And I call another place in front of my shop. There's another shop. I call him and take it.
So you called the shop. He's going to get the parcel.
Yeah. He took it.
Do you want me to go on my motorbike to the other shop and get the parcel? I can do that.
But
okay.
No worries.
Right.
I told him to send it someone.
Cool, man.
He will send it vehicle.
I like it. It's DHL.
The parcel with another bus.
What, coming back now?
Parcel update. He was chatting to me. The bus went past and he was supposed to get the parcel off the bus, but he forgot because he was chatting to me. So then he called his mate, right, who's got another T-shirt up the road and said, "Oi, Dave." His name's definitely not Dave. "Do us a favour. Can you intercept the bus?" So that's happened. Now, Dave is going to put it on a bus coming back the other way. And then let's call him Chaz. Definitely not Chaz. Is going to intercept it. I did offer to go and get it on my motorbike just to give myself something to do, to be honest. But that doesn't seem to have happened. I'm definitely giving him a tip. What are the politics here in Sri Lanka?
So it's right now, I think we are on a very much better track than before.
Back at my hotel in Ella, I chatted to the owner over another cup of tea.
There were two parties that controlled Sri Lanka for 72 years. And like last year it changed. So I think we had a big cancer before. Like, they ruined the country.
Really?
We went through bankruptcy. After Corona, we had this issue, like we couldn't pay anything and we declared bankrupt, like, Sri Lanka.
Uh-huh.
Right, so this is all because of the corruption. So I believe the family of Rajapaksas, do you know the Rajapaksa family? I believe they have close to $100 billion.
Yeah. Where do they live? Colombo?
Yeah. So now, because of the government change, everything's like all, everything went crazy, you know, like they like without power, money is not everything now.
Yeah.
Because you need power to control, you know?
Yeah.
But they've lost it. So they're like wild dogs now.
Do you think there may be a movement to try to get some of the money back to the country?
So I think it's not going to be easy because they are really good criminals.
Yeah.
They know how to hide the evidence and all. So I think they have done so many things. You need to pick something up and put them into jail and then make a deal.
Right.
That's
yeah.
They have put deals and all this with everyone else's lives. I think it's time when they, if we can like put them in the jail for something. For an example, Mahinda Rajapaksha is the person I was talking about. Now he's bloody old. But his son is there. Yeah, they're all thieves, right? Criminals. So he is my age.
And he's a criminal as well, the son? The whole family?
I mean, he's not the one who's pulling the trigger, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's all there.
Yeah. So what were they doing? Were they just taking money out of the tax system for themselves?
Everything. The trust funds, when the tsunami hit, we got so much of charity, like, we got so much from other countries. They put everything in their accounts. From the war, when, you know, there was a civil war here for 23 odd years, so he stopped it. But they found so much of gold and all this from those areas. They all took it. So this is what they all obviously have about $100 billion.
So they took the gold off the Tamil leaders and they took over the mines in the area.
Everything. You name it, they have it.
Wow.
From Sri Lankan Airlines, from everything, they jacked it.
Oh, I see. It amazes me in countries like this that happens, because they must see the poverty every day out of the windows of their cars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they just choose to ignore it.
Exactly. Still.
Yeah. And you like the new party, the new people that are in power? They're cool?
So they are not thieves, right? So they also have a very new team, so it takes time, you know?
Yeah.
But I always say it's like when you have a cancer, you can't heal it from a day. You have to go through chemo. It's tough.
Yeah.
I'm happy that we are at least out of that system, you know? To make this change happen, Sri Lanka got everyone together. Like, this was like after 20, the coronavirus, right? We didn't have petrol, we didn't have food, queues to get petrol. It was crazy, right? But still on those days, all the ministers have petrol and all this, and people got so shit. They didn't have diesel to run the generators for electricity. They cut electricity, but not the prime minister.
For the ministers, I see.
People got fucking crazy. Everyone got together, and then there was a huge protest. Like, everyone from around the country came together. They went to the president's house, everyone was in the pool, president ran away.
Everyone jumped in the president's swimming pool?
Yeah, everyone had so much fun on that day, like about 100,000 of people are now in front, you know.
And then the president disappeared, I guess.
Yeah. He flew away. And then somehow that's the time it changed.
So that sounds like a revolution, really.
Yeah, it was. Everyone got together, there were no difference. Everyone got together, you know, to chase these buggers. Everyone came from everywhere.
What are they called, the new party?
They are called the National People's Party, NPP. Red colour.
Sounds a bit communist. People's Party, red colour. They're not communist anymore?
But not anymore, you know, like, it's not 1980s.
You could have been the Prime Minister, maybe. You don't want that?
I'm very bad at politics.
You haven't really lived, and by lived I mean nearly died, until you've been on a Sri Lankan bus for 5 hours. That's what I'm going through now. My bum's gone to sleep, but I'm sitting down, so I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm going through quite a dense jungle, with occasional people standing by the side of the road. Lots of tuk-tuks. It's getting a bit dark now, so fruit stands are selling their bananas with LED lights above them. There's some rice plantations in the distance. This bus, made by Leyland, a British company, in what looks like 1970, it's still going strong. It'll have a million miles on the clock. Try not to look at the tyres as you get on, is my advice. I've had a couple of bumps in my face so far. One of them quite nice, actually. I suppose I'll tell you about the style of driving. So, mopeds are very slow, and so are tuk-tuks.
buses have priority over absolutely everyone. It's an unwritten rule. So what that means, if you're a bus driver, is you should get up behind a tuk-tuk or a moped and you flash your lights and beep your horn until it fucks off to the side, and then you steamroll through and wait for the next thing, and you repeat that for about 5 hours. And you'd think, wouldn't you, that I'm crossing the whole of Sri Lanka. Honestly, I just looked at the map. It takes hours to do 100 kilometres. Hours. Where, of course, in most countries it would take an hour. Here, I don't even know. Just a lot of time. He's on time, and he's flying along. I mean, he's using his phone at the same time, even though he's got 100 passengers behind him. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. That's getting a tuk-tuk out of the way. Tuk-tuk pulls in a bit. He steams down the middle. It seems to be quite an effective system. I mean, he's got a little bit of verbal from my guy on a bicycle. He sort of has a go at people for turning right. So imagine, because don't forget, it used to be British, so they're driving on the left. And when people turn right, obviously they have to stop in the left lane. And sometimes he just has a go at them. Just like, don't fucking turn right here, you fucker. That's quite interesting. I've actually got a bottle of vodka in my bag and I'm thinking about having a go on it. I just can't believe that it's managed to take me 5 hours to remember. The fact they've managed to build a railroad through here is absolutely mind-blowing. I'd love to be on it, but there's been a landslide recently and it's covered all over the railway, so I think it won't be running for the next few weeks. Anyway, it's a sort of bizarre experience in that it's a combination of enjoyable, because, you know, a roller coaster is enjoyable, harrowing, because sometimes you remember it's not a roller coaster and there's no little man about to do a safety check, and beautiful rice paddies, but also sad. A man just throwing a plastic tub out the window right in front of me. Fucking does my head in. But I can't really have a go at him because it's not my country. And I can't impose my values on them. But when you get off, you just jump off the moving bus. And you might be wondering, well, how can you do that? They need to open the doors. No, the doors are always open. All the doors, all the windows are always open. Always. Yeah, no seatbelts. I didn't notice the driver's got a seatbelt, but if the bus crashed, it wouldn't be much use because it's as slack as a pair of very baggy underpants. You know what really is really weird about it is, if you've never done this before and you get on it, it's fucking mind-blowing. It's like one of the most incredible things you've ever seen. But because I've done this in Nicaragua and India and various other places, I'm slightly immune. Slightly. Not quite immune enough, hence the vodka. Right, I'm going to have a go on that now, then I'll get off and eat a piece of chicken. That's the rough plan for the day. Big love.
You have been patiently listening to a podcast from me, Vinny, and if you want to learn more, you can go to vinnywhite.co.uk. You can donate if you want. Chuck us a couple of quid to host these podcasts. And if you want to... Oh, I should announce now, I'm going on tour doing a show called The History of Electronic Music. I'll be doing Brighton in the south of England and Edinburgh in Scotland. Brighton in May, Edinburgh the whole of August. If you want to come along, I would love to have you there. Go to historyofelectronic.com for tickets. Historyofelectronic.com for information and even a little video that I just made. I'm back in the grey winter now, looking forward to spring. I'm not sure where the next podcast will be because I'm not sure where I'm going next. But I inevitably will be going somewhere fairly soon. And I think I'm pretty confident that I'll be getting to 100 countries this year, since Sri Lanka was 98. I've only got 2 to go. I don't know why I said it in that voice. I've only got 2 to go. Travel's great if you haven't done any. Book a trip. frees the mind, takes you out of your comfort zone, pushes into new things, helps you meet more new people. I think one of the best things about it is I've got quite a bad memory, and I use trips to be my memory. You know, I can't really remember what I'm doing unless I think of the two trips that it's sandwiched in between. You know, and it makes you feel, I think it makes me feel like I've got a more fulfilling life when I look back at it. Like, I have worked in an office. I remember I worked in numerous offices, and I worked in one for 5 or 6 years. And I look back at it now, and I swear it feels like I was there for 2 months. I just don't know. And I imagine if I worked in an office for 20 years in the same office, it would feel like I was working in it for maybe a year. Because it all just bubbles into a big melting pot of boring same old shit. So that's why travel is important, to, you know, pep you up and get you out of that rut. I remember that a couple of years ago I was in the Philippines and I was actually having a really shit time. And I was on the way out of Manila, and it had taken a day and a half to ride out of Manila, and I was choking on fumes and there was nothing to look at, and I was boiling hot and my motorbike was a bit scary and there was floods everywhere, so it was quite difficult to drive or ride. And I said to the buddy I was with, I said, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really enjoying this. And then I think 2 days later we were on a beach drinking cocktails, and I was like, oh, actually, maybe a bit of hardship's good. Maybe not enjoying stuff is part of enjoying stuff in the long run. Now, I'm sure far more deeply philosophical people have done far more analysis than I, but what I'm saying in conclusion is, from my own brief experience, go fuck about, do something that's outside your comfort zone, and even if it isn't that good, long run, it's probably good. All right, I'll leave it there for now. Big love, thanks a lot. Do drop me a line, by the way. I'd love to hear from you. I do really appreciate listener feedback. So go to vinnywhite.co.uk and you can drop me a line. Thanks. Bye for now.
WeMakePodcasts.com